Sisters, we welcome you to the General Relief Society meeting of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Sister Bonnie D. Parkin, Relief Society General President. Thank you for your goodness, your righteous hearts, and all you do to strengthen and support one another. We are honored to have with us our beloved prophet, President Gordon B. Hinckley, President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency, and President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Elders Jeffrey R. Holland and David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and Elder John B. Dixon of the 70. Also seated on the stand are my beloved counselors, Sister Kathleen H. Hughes and Sister Ann C. Pingree, as well as members of the Relief Society General Board. We acknowledge also our Relief Society sisters who serve in primary and young women general presidencies. May I express my great love to each of you and the thank you for the support that you give us. Sisters, we hope that many of you have gathered in your stake centers across the world to participate in tonight's meeting, and we pray that during our time together, you will feel encircled in the arms of our Savior's love. We find strength as we come together as women, and we must be united in purpose as we strive to increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthen families. The music for this meeting will be provided by a choir composed of Relief Society sisters from the Salt Lake area. Many members of the choir are mothers and daughters. It has been so heartwarming to hear stories how family bonds have been strengthened as they have participated together. The choir is under the direction of Elizabeth Ballantyne and Bonnie Goodluff at the organ. The choir will now sing praise to him. Following the singing, the invocation will be offered by Sister Julie Hales of the BYU Ninth Stake. After the invocation, the choir will sing "When I Feel His Love." We invite you, the congregation, to remain seated and join in the singing of the chorus when Sister Ballantyne directs you.
Oh, Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be gathered here in this meeting as Relief Society sisters. We're so grateful for this organization and for the bonds of sisterhood and love that it provides us, and that we are united across cultures and nations and languages. We're so grateful for our Savior Jesus Christ, for his love and for his atonement that strengthens us and allows us to be cleansed from our sins. We're grateful for the opportunity to hear from President Hinckley and from our Relief Society General Presidency, and pray that the Spirit may enlighten each of us as to how we can better serve thee and others around us. We're so grateful for thy many blessings in our lives, and pray that we may become more faithful and humble disciples of Jesus Christ each day. And we pray again for thy Spirit to attend us, to attend those who speak and those who sing, that we may all be edified and lifted together. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
When I received this call, I pleaded with Heavenly Father to help me know what the sisters in the church needed. I received a strong witness that we, his daughters, need to know that he loves us. We need to know that he sees the good in us. Feeling his love encourages us to press forward, reassures us that we are his, and confirms to us that he cherishes us even when we stumble and experience temporary setbacks. I had this message confirmed when I bore my testimony in the Sunday afternoon session of General Conference in April of 2002. That morning, I was told that Elder Haight might not be able to participate in the conference. If that happened, I would have 5 minutes to bear my testimony. I prayed extra hard for Elder Haight that day. Sunday morning, I watched him come into the conference center, and I started to relax right up until the moment that he exited during the congregational hymn. As I stood at the podium that afternoon, the teleprompter screen was blank, but the message that kept coming to my mind and my heart was that women needed to feel the Lord's love in their lives daily. It was the message I knew I needed to convey that day, and it continues to be our message. I have been humbled by your tender personal responses to this charge. Thank you for sharing how this message has blessed your life. Your words have confirmed that each one of us is entitled and needs to feel the Lord's love in our lives daily. Our Heavenly Father loved us before we came to this earth. I know that he loves us, sisters, as does his Son, Jesus Christ. That love will never change. It is constant. You can rely on it. We can trust it. Just as the motto of Relief Society reminds us that charity never faileth, we must believe that the love of Christ will never fail us. All that we do in Relief Society should reflect the love of the Savior and of our Heavenly Father. This great love should be the source of our motivation to serve others. It must be both our point of origin and our destination. I know of a young mother with 5 little children who called an older sister, who's her valued mentor, and asked, "Can we go for a hike?" Her friend knew that meant she needed to talk. Halfway through the 8-mile loop, the young mother finally said, "I can't believe that Heavenly Father loves me. I've made lots of mistakes in my life. I can't feel that I'm worthy of his love. How can he possibly love me?" Sisters, this was a woman who had made temple covenants and was active in the church, and yet she still felt unworthy of his love. The older sister quickly responded, "Of course he loves you. You're his daughter." Do we frequently reject the Lord's love that he pours out upon us in much more abundance than we are willing to receive? Do we think we have to be perfect in order to deserve his love? When we allow ourselves to feel encircled about eternally in the arms of his love, we feel safe, and we realize that we don't need to be immediately perfect. We must acknowledge that perfection is a process. This is a gospel of eternal progression, and we must remember to appreciate the journey. Eternal means without beginning or end, so the encircling of his love is there for us every day. Remember, it's constant, even when we don't recognize it. I love the description Nephi gives of this great gift. "The love of God sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable of all things and the most joyous to the soul." I testify that this is true. I know that there may be some who have a difficult time imagining what his love feels like. Think of a mother with a newborn baby. The warmth, the safety, cherishing, and peace of a mother's embrace can help us understand what it feels like to be encircled in the arms of his love. A young adult relief society sister wrote, "Only in the love of my mother do I come close to understand the magnitude and the power of the Savior's love." Mothers, can you see how essential you are in teaching this truth to your children? As you encircle your children with your love, they will catch glimpses of His love. President Hinckley urges us to love the Lord our God and love His Son and be ever grateful for their love for us. When other love fades, theirs will be the shining, transcendent, everlasting love of God for each of us and the love of His Son who gave His life for us. A mother who knows her relationship with God helps her children to know Him and to be encircled by His love. I was touched by the comments of a daughter shared at the funeral of her 100-year-old mother. She said, "When I was a teenager trying to plan my class schedule, I would come into the kitchen where Mother was ironing. I would present possible options for my studies, and she would listen to all of them. We would discuss the possibilities, and then she would say, 'Okay, Kathy, have you prayed about it?' That was kind of embarrassing to me, and I would hesitate and then add, 'Do you have to pray about everything?' She answered simply, 'I do.' This mother listened. She shared her faith in the Lord. She set an example. She shared her expectations for her daughter to return continually to the Lord. As we approach the Lord, we feel His love draw us closer. Dear mothers, teach your children to always include the Lord in their lives and to help them to recognize His loving influence. My mother and I received our patriarchal blessings together. I was 20, Mother was 49. I will never forget that day how the patriarch placed his hands on Mother's head and told her how often her life had been spared through bouts of rheumatic fever, heart disease, and many other illnesses. He recounted her life, enumerating the times she had blessed others. He told her of things the Lord had in store for her and offered guidance as to what she needed to do. I knew my mother's life, and I listened as this patriarch, who was not acquainted with her, described her life. This experience was a witness to me that God lives, that He loves us, and that He knows us individually. I felt the Lord's love for my mother and for me on that memorable day. The greatest evidence of the Savior's love for us is His atonement. His love overflows with grace, patience, long-suffering, mercy, and forgiveness. Now, as grandmothers, we have a sacred responsibility to encircle our grandchildren in love. When a 3-year-old girl was being sassy, her grandmother instructed her, "Don't talk that way to your grandmother, because we're going to be friends for millions and millions of years." Isn't being a grandmother the best? Remember, sisters, love and covenants bind us together as eternal families. The Lord loves is often delivered through others as they respond to the promptings of the Spirit. Are we hearing and following those promptings? Because of financial struggles, one sister had to move from her beloved home and ward after living there for 22 years. That was painful. On her first Sunday in her new ward, she said, "I felt very alone, even though I knew a few people. I was one of the first to Relief Society that morning. I sat there and I watched the sisters file in and take their seats. They all seemed to need their own row, not just their own seat." They didn't sit by me, and they didn't sit by each other. I felt like an island. Sisters, why do we do that to each other? The sister continued. Then Lisa came in. Her face lit up when she saw me, and she charged over, popped down beside me, put her arm around me, and gave me a big hug. It's amazing how much a small gesture like that can mean. Her warmth, and I would add, her love, washed away my loneliness. I fear sometimes we only see the Lord's love in the big events of our lives. We must also see His love in the smallest of things. Don't underestimate your ability to share His love through a simple, genuine gesture, such as sitting next to another sister and making her feel welcome. Do you feel the Lord's love in your life? How I feel His love may be different from how you experience it. The key is to come to understand how you feel that love, and once you've felt it, be willing to share it. As a presidency, we visited the devastated Gulf Coast following Hurricane Katrina. One evening at a fireside, I stood at the pulpit and felt prompted that every sister in attendance needed someone to literally reach out and strengthen her. After the meeting, Sister Hughes, Sister Pingree, and I each stood at a different door and hugged every sister as she exited. We simply wanted to express our love to them. To any of those sisters who might be listening tonight, we left your chapel feeling renewed because of the love of God that you shared with us. Thank you for taking care of each other and the three of us. In my morning prayers, I ask Heavenly Father to fill me with His love so I can do His work with more heart. I know that I have been blessed because of this daily petition. As Relief Society sisters, we must strive to manifest the love of Christ, who always sought to please His Father by doing His will. Sisters, we must make every effort to follow His supreme example, to demonstrate such love through our thoughts, our speech, our actions, in all the things that we do and are. We must not allow vanity, pride, selfishness, or personal agendas to displace our reaching out to others. Quite simply and profoundly, we must first allow ourselves to be encircled by God's love. We do that best by embracing the Savior's eternal atonement. Then we can expand our circle to include our families and others. Such a circle is indeed heaven. My dear sisters, may the Lord bless you to feel His love daily as you keep your covenants, exercise charity, and strengthen families. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I think that the one way that I feel the love of the Lord is by trying to feel it, by opening my heart to the beauty that surrounds me every day.
Ich fühle die Liebe meines himmlischen Vaters sehr stark in meinem Leben. I feel the love of my Heavenly Father mostly by a warm feeling. It's just a feeling of peace and of warmth in my heart.
The joy of living, I think, the joy of life is an expression of the love the Lord has for me.
When I spend time in the scriptures every day, when I'm able to kneel down and pray, I feel His love. I feel it so much in my life, and it gives me the strength to continue when times are tough.
I know if I humble myself, not for His blessings, but to know that I am helping Him and helping others, teaching others, guiding others, supporting others, I know that He's there for me.
I think
think I felt it even be the love of the Lord in my life even before I was aware, fully aware of his existence. He's definitely shown his love by guiding me through some real negative situations in my life that he's turned around and turned it into a positive.
Obstacles do come, but if I have trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and do what I need to do to keep the commandments, whatever happens is the will of the Lord, and I will obey.
My life, like so many people, is very, very busy, and it's very, very noisy. But I have the chance to teach the gospel. I have to constantly read, study, think about the scriptures. And it's the times when it's the quiet in my life, when I'm thinking and pondering upon the gospel, and the Spirit bears witness to me that it's true. It is absolutely true.
He sentido su sustento, su apoyo.
I have felt his support, his help, including when I have felt grief and adversity. I feel that God takes me in his arms and makes my burdens lighter.
Je ressens l'amour que le Seigneur a pour moi personnellement, Martine, dans mon cœur.
I feel the love that the Lord has for me in my heart. I feel it inside me, and I also see it through my family's eyes. Children have a very special way to bring Heavenly Father's love into our lives. Their innocence, their joy, and their purity bring a piece of heaven into our family.
Entonces, desde siempre, con la noche de hogar,
with family home evening, taking us to church, and teaching us the principles of the gospel, we have always been able to feel the love of our Savior, above all, knowing that we can become an eternal family because my parents are sealed in the temple.
I believe Relief Society was organized under the direction of a loving Heavenly Father through the prophet Joseph Smith, so that women had a place where they could learn doctrine together. Women need to be together to talk to each other, to share life experiences.
The gospel of Jesus Christ makes me happy, and the doctrines that I have learned from my parents and from my primary and Sunday school and mutual and Relief Society instructors, that makes me happy.
Visiting teachers have a remarkable ability to address simple needs of sisters and larger needs based on their ability to talk through things or just give someone a sense that they're loved. I think visiting teaching is one of the greatest ways that we can show love in the church and that people can feel the love of the Lord.
Relief Society helps me know about God's love. It helps all the sisters to know about His love.
It has always been just a precious possession of mine to have a knowledge of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of my Savior. I know that He lives. I know that He loves me. I have truly felt that love in so many ways.
We thank those dear sisters who have shared how they feel the love of the Lord in their life throughout the world. We will now hear from Sister Kathleen H. Hughes, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. She will be followed by Sister Ann C. Pringree, Second Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. The choir will then sing Beautiful Savior. Sister Hughes. Sisters, good evening. It's wonderful to be here. Christ in the Red Robe by Minerva Tykert seemed the perfect painting to depict our scripture that we chose for this evening. I'm encircled about eternally in the arms of his love. Christ looks so welcoming with his arms outstretched toward us. Just as he invited the Nephites to arise and come forth unto me, so he invites each of us, one by one, to come to him, that we too may know that he is the God of the whole earth and has been slain for the sins of the world. We learn how it feels to be encircled in his love when we accept that invitation. I'm certain that each of you has felt at one time or another encircled in Christ's arms. But if you're like me, there are times when you are fearful, when the stress and busyness of life seem to overwhelm you, when you feel adrift from the Spirit. Perhaps you even feel as though you've been abandoned. When I encounter those feelings, the best antidote for is my memory of the moments when Christ's peace has come to strengthen me. So tonight, I invite you to remember with me what it is to feel the Lord's love in your life and to feel encircled in his arms. My mother died when I was still a young mother. I needed her counsel and advice. After her cancer was diagnosed, she only lived 6 weeks. Initially, my concern was for my father. I felt grateful that Mom had not suffered long and that her death had been a sweet experience for us. But a few weeks later, Mother's Day and her birthday were coming, and I began to miss her terribly. I wanted her arms around me, and I wanted to know that she was all right. I wanted to tell her that I loved her and that I missed her. One night as I was praying and crying, which I often did then, I felt a comfort fill my body suddenly and powerfully. The feeling restored me. It gave me peace. It did not last long physically, yet it was immensely comforting. I knew what it was. The Lord's love encircling me and granting me peace and strength. But just as important, that moment has remained in my memory as a sweet gift to unwrap and remember when life is difficult. Sometimes, too, the moments of love and the resultant peace have come unexpectedly and when there's been no need, no particular problem or issue that I've been facing. One lovely autumn Sabbath, I was sitting in my scripture reading chair, watching the yellow leaves fall from our neighbor's apricot tree. I looked up from my scriptures and without warning, felt a sense of peace and contentment wash over me. The moment was fleeting, yet the memory of the love I felt has been lasting. It is a gift of memory to recall when life and times are difficult. I also know that we can seek the Lord's love in the very simple things of our lives, when life is not difficult, and in the everyday parts of our lives. I seek it, and when I seek it, I experience it, and I feel the Lord's love encircle me. I see evidences of the Lord's love in my morning walks, when the air is clear and the first hint of light is in the east. I feel his love when a verse of scripture springs to my mind and speaks to me in a new way. I recognize his love when I'm taught by good women in Relief Society or by visiting teachers who take care of me. I sense his presence when my heart responds to beautiful music or a memorable talk. Sisters, the Lord is everywhere when we open our eyes and our hearts to his love. But there are women among you, I am sure, who are thinking now, well, when do I have time for a morning walk? Or when was the last time I had 10 minutes of peace to read my scriptures Or when was the last time I had a day without pain or worry or heartache? And I recognize how true it is that life often feels like a great pile of obligations and frustrations and disappointments. But the Lord is there, always the same, His arms still outstretched. When we feel overwhelmed, we have to remember the peace He has spoken to us on previous occasions. His peace brings comfort and strength. The world cannot give that to us. As faithful women of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have been blessed with the Holy Ghost. As we invite the Savior into our lives, the Holy Ghost will bear witness to us of the love which the Father and His Son, our Savior, have for each of us. But feeling their love is dependent not only on our desire, but upon our actions as well. And the actions we need to take are known to us. Genuine prayer that is specific and humble, followed by quiet listening for the Lord's answers. Regular scripture study and time to ponder what we read. And finally, a willingness to be introspective about ourselves and to trust in the Lord's promise that He will make weak things become strong unto us. As we study and ponder, we are entitled to the promptings of the Spirit. And as we grow more attentive to these promptings, we come to recognize each day the workings of the Lord in our lives. We will find Him, as Elder Maxwell stated, in the details of our lives. And sisters, when that recognition comes, we will feel His peace and recognize that we are truly encircled in the arms of His love. In the January 2004 Worldwide Leadership Training Meeting, President Hinckley admonished the women of the church to stand strong and immovable against the evil that is growing in the world. Sisters, this is why we must seek to know and to feel the Lord's love in our lives. It is why we must remember and treasure up our own experiences with His peace and the strength that it brings. And it is why we must relate our own experiences of faith and testimony to our children and to those who are without parents or loved ones. Our families need the peace of God in their lives. And if we can't or won't invite the Lord into our lives, then our families become a reflection of our own turmoil. Women are asked to be nurturers to their families, but we must also be firm. We must be the hard rock footings on which our homes can stand. Our families need us to speak peace to them, just as the Lord speaks peace to us. Our homes need to be places where our families and friends want to be, where all who enter our homes can draw strength and courage to face the challenges of living in an increasingly wicked world. Our children need to hear us talk of Christ, rejoice in Christ, and preach of Christ, so that they may know to what source they can look for that peace that passes all understanding. Remember, sisters, the Savior's invitation is clear and direct, and importantly for us, it is constant. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. This is the Lord's promise to me and to you. My prayer for each of us is that we will remember when the Lord has spoken His peace to us and has encircled us in the arms of His love. And just as important, will you, if you haven't felt that love for a while, seek to see it and feel it as you go about the ordinary tasks of your life? As you do this, over the days and months and years of your life, the memories of those interactions with the Lord will become sweet gifts to open a second time or many times to bolster you when life is difficult. Peace I give unto you, the Lord promises. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Peace, strength. It is what we long for and what is possible. We only need to turn toward his reaching arms. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My dear sisters, I too love this magnificent painting. The Savior of mankind, with nail prints in his hands, stands majestically with outstretched arms. In tenderness and compassion, he looks down upon the women straining to reach him. I love the symbolism of women reaching out to touch the Savior. We long to be close to the Lord, for we know that he loves each of us and desires to encircle us eternally in the arms of his love. His touch can heal ailments, spiritual, emotional, or physical. He is our advocate, exemplar, good shepherd, and redeemer. Where else would we look? Where else would we reach? Where else would we come but to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith? He pronounced, "Verily, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive." His promise invites us not only to reach towards him, but also to take the all-important next steps to come unto him. This is such a motivating, cheering doctrine. The Messiah extends his arm of mercy to us, always eager to receive us if we choose to come to him. When we do come to the Savior with full purpose of heart, we will feel his loving touch in the most personal ways. A certain woman made that choice and felt his touch. And a certain woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I have asked myself what might have happened if this woman with the issue of blood had not believed in the Savior enough to make whatever effort was necessary to touch the border of his robe. In that throng, I imagine getting even that close to him took some doing. Yet, nothing wavering, she persisted. In a like manner, we must demonstrate that faith in the Lord has penetrated our hearts deeply enough to move us to action. A friend told me of an instance when she was inconsolable. She felt such sorrow over a family tragedy that on one day she could not even leave her home. Unannounced, a Relief Society sister came to her door and said, "I had the feeling you needed me." The sister did not probe or ask for details, but rather enfolded my friend in her arms and asked, "Would you like to have a prayer?" After their prayer, the sister left. That kind touch and sensitive approach did much to heal my friend's broken heart. This loving Relief Society sister not only listened to the Spirit, she acted upon that prompting. In a real sense, she showed that the virtue found in the doctrines of salvation had touched her so profoundly that she worked daily to be Christ-like. Her actions reflected her personal understanding that charity never faileth. Of the millions of you faithful Relief Society sisters who, like this compassionate sister, reflect that everlasting love of Christ, which is charity, President Gordon B. Hinckley has said, "Innumerable are the deeds of these remarkable and wonderful and unselfish women in succoring those in distress, in binding up the wounds of those who have been hurt, in giving cheer and comfort to those in distress, in lifting up those who have fallen, and giving them strength and encouragement and the will to go forward." That very will to go forward towards our Savior sometimes requires on-the-spot repentance. It's recognizing we've made mistakes or haven't done what we could to encourage or help someone. These personal course corrections in thought, action, or word are essential for all who desire to come unto Christ. They represent individual choices about how we will touch each other, literally and figuratively. We draw closer to the Savior as we encircle others in loving arms, or we don't. We balm emotional or physical wounds, or we don't. We look at each other with a loving rather than a critical eye, or we don't. We ask forgiveness for harm we have caused, even if it was unintended, or we don't. We do the hard spiritual work of forgiving those who have given us offense, or we don't. We quickly correct our errors or oversights in personal relationships when we become aware of them, or we don't. Like you, I know what it means to make essential course corrections. I remember a time when, without any intent to do so, I offended a sister in my ward. I needed to reconcile this issue, but I must admit that my pride kept me from going to her and asking for her forgiveness. Family, other commitments, on and on, I found ways to postpone my repentance. I was sure things would work out on their own, but they didn't. In the stillness of not one night, but several, I awoke with a clear realization that I was not taking the course the Lord would want me to take. I was not acting on my faith that His arm of mercy was truly extended towards me if I would act aright. I prayed for strength and courage, humbled myself, and went to the sister's home and asked for her forgiveness. For us both, it proved to be a sweet, healing experience. Sometimes a personal course correction is as immediate as retracing our hurried steps toward the exit after church meetings, and instead crossing the foyer to greet a lonely sister who we know will talk long. Often it will be as long-term as regularly rising above feelings of resentment for family members who treat us thoughtlessly, all the while we are trying to build positive relationships. Regularly, these individual course corrections, which are crucial instances of repenteth, yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Seeking that fruit of righteousness, it is no wonder that we, like the women in Minerva Tykert's glorious artwork, stretch with longing and adoration towards the Savior. For we know He extends the arm of mercy towards them that put their trust in Him. Because this glorious promise is true, where else would we look? where else would we reach? Where else would we come but to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, our Messiah? I know that the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings, not only for that certain woman with an issue of blood, but also for each one of us. He would guide and bless and gather us if we will choose to come unto him. May we do so every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We express our sincere appreciation to all who have participated with us this evening, with very special thanks to this magnificent choir. We will now be privileged to hear from President Gordon B. Hinckley, our beloved prophet. Following President Hinckley's remarks, this meeting will conclude with the choir singing, "O Holy Jesus." The benediction will then be offered by Sister Denise I. Hales of the Grantsville, Utah stake. President Hinckley.
My dear sisters, what a tremendous opportunity is afforded me in speaking to you in this great Relief Society conference. We've listened tonight to wonderful discourses given by women of great faith and ability. I wish the presidency of the Relief Society to know that we have complete confidence in them. We appreciate them in every way. We are grateful for the theme they have chosen from the Book of Mormon, from 2 Nephi, encircled eternally in the arms of His love. The women of the Relief Society are literally encircled eternally in the arms of our Lord. In my judgment, this is the greatest women's organization in all the world. It is a God-given creation. Joseph Smith spoke and acted as a prophet when he organized the Relief Society in 1842. At that time, he said, "The organization of the Church of Christ was never perfect until the women were organized." Today, membership in the Relief Society is somewhere around 5 million. It is organized in many nations and teaches in many tongues. It enfolds within its ranks all women of the church 18 years of age and older. Among these are single young women, women who have never married, those who are widowed or divorced, those with husbands and families, those old in years, many of whom have lost their eternal companions. A friend not of our faith once said to me, LDS stands for love, devotion, service. What does Relief Society really stand for? What does it mean? Let me try to say something about this. Relief Society stands for love. What a remarkable thing it is to witness the love of good women one for another. They mingle together in the bonds of love with friendship and respect for each other. This organization is actually the only resource that many women have for friendly association. It is the natural instinct of women to reach out in love to those in distress and need. The welfare program of the church is described as priesthood-based, but it could not function without the Relief Society. Relief Society stands for education. Beyond this, it is the obligation of every woman of this church to get all the education she can. It will enlarge her life and increase her opportunities. It will provide her with marketable skills in case she needs them. Last week, I received a letter from a single mother, a part of which I read to you. She says as follows, quote, "It has been 10 years since you mentioned our family in October conference in 1996. The words of counsel and encouragement that you gave to me and other single sisters has been a pattern used in my daily life regularly. The phrase that has become my motto and watchword, do the very best you can. And that is indeed what my sons and I are trying to do. All four of my sons graduated from high school and seminary. Two of them serve full-time missions. We are all working to provide for ourselves and continue to be true and faithful in the gospel. It is a great feeling to know that we have made it on our own for the past several years. There is a certain feeling of accomplishment when you can once again stand on your own two feet and provide for your family's needs. I was encouraged to go back to college. It is a real challenge to work full-time and attend classes at night. It has broadened my perspective on life and helped me to be a better person. My family, ward members, and coworkers have been very supportive. I will graduate this December. As I pondered my patriarchal blessing and made it a matter of fasting and prayer, I was able to set some realistic goals in my life that have been used as a roadmap to keep me on track with the principles of the gospel. I attend my meetings, pray daily, and pay my tithing. I take my calling as a visiting teacher very seriously. The church is true, and it is an honor and a privilege to be counted as a worthy and blessed member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We are led by inspiration from a loving Heavenly Father who knows us and wants us to progress and grow. I thank you for your kind words of encouragement 10 years ago and for the many continuing words of inspiration that come from the Lord through His servants. I know I am a child of God, and my wife is blessed by my membership in His church. Relief Society stands for self-reliance. The best food storage is not in welfare grain elevators, but in sealed cans and bottles in the homes of our people. What a gratifying thing it is to see cans of wheat and rice and beans under the beds or in the pantries of women who have taken welfare responsibility into their own hands. Such food may not be tasty, but it will be nourishing if it has to be used. Relief Society means sacrifice. I am always moved by this simple verse of Ann Campbell, written in behalf of her child. Said she, "You are the trip I did not take. You are the pearls I cannot buy. You are my blue Italian lake. You are my piece of foreign sky." Many of you are mothers. You're responsible for the nurture and upbringing of your children. When you grow old and your hair turns white, you will not ask about the fancy clothes you once wore, the cars you drove, or the large house in which you lived. Your burning question will be, how have my children turned out? If they have turned out well, you will be grateful. If otherwise, there will be only small consolation for you. I have written elsewhere, God bless you, mothers, when all the victories and defeats of men's efforts are talent, when the dust of life's battles begin to settle, when all for which we labor so hard in this world of conquest fades before our eyes. You will be there, you must be there, as the strength for a new generation, the ever-improving onward movement of the race. End of quote. Some years ago in the Salt Lake Tabernacle, Elder Marion D. Hanks conducted a panel discussion. Included in that panel was an attractive and able young woman, divorced, the mother of 7 children, then ranging in ages from 7 to 16. She said that one evening she went across the street to deliver something to a neighbor. Listen to her words as I recall them. Quote, "As I turned around to walk back home, I could see my house lighted up. I could hear echoes of my children as I had walked out of the door a few minutes earlier. They were saying, 'Mom, what are we going to have for dinner? Can you take me to the library? I have to get some poster paper tonight.' Tired and weary, I looked at that house and saw the light on in each of the rooms. I thought of all of those children who were home, waiting for me to come and meet their needs. My burdens felt heavier than I can bear. I remember looking through tears toward the sky, and I said, 'Dear Father, I just can't do it tonight. I'm too tired. I can't face it. I can't go home and take care of all those children alone. Could I just come to you and stay with you for just one night? I'll come back in the morning.'" I didn't really hear the words of reply, but I heard them in my mind. The answer was, "No, little one, you can't come to me now. You would never wish to come back. But I can come to you." There are so very many like this young mother who found herself in loneliness and desperation, but was fortunate enough to have faith in the Lord, who could love her and help her. Relief Society means faith. It means putting first things first. It means such a thing as the payment of tithing. Elder Lynn Robbins of the 70 tells this story of a state president from Panama. As a young man recently returned from his mission, he found the girl he wanted to marry. They were happy but very poor. Then came a particularly difficult time when their food and money ran out. It was a Saturday, and the cupboard was literally bare. Renee felt distraught that his young wife was hungry. He decided he had no other choice than to use their tithing money and go purchase food. As he was leaving the house, his wife stopped him and asked him where he was going. He told her he was going to buy food. She asked him where he got the money. He told her that it was the tithing money. She said, "That is the Lord's money. You will not use that to buy food." Her faith was stronger than his. He put the money back and they went to bed hungry that night. The next morning they had no breakfast and they went to church fasting. Renee gave the tithing money to the bishop, but he was too proud to tell the bishop that they were in need. After the meetings, he and his wife left the chapel and started to walk home. They hadn't gone very far when a new member called to them from his house. This man was a fisherman and told them he had more fish than he could use. He wrapped 5 little fish in a newspaper for them, and they thanked him. As they continued to walk home, they were stopped by another member who gave them tortillas. Then someone else stopped them and gave them rice. Another member saw them and gave them beans. When they arrived home, they had enough food for 2 weeks. They were even more surprised when they unwrapped the package of fish and found 2 very large fish and not the 5 smaller ones they thought they had seen. They cut the fish in portions and stored it in their neighbor's freezer. They have repeatedly testified that never since then have they gone hungry. My dear sisters, all of these wonderful qualities, which Relief Society stands for, represent being encircled eternally in the arms of His love. It is this for which we all wish. It is this for which we all hope. It is this for which we all pray. Now, my dear sisters, just a word in conclusion. I remind you that you are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. You are His divine creation. Men hold a priesthood. Yours is a different role, but also extremely important. Without you, our Father's plan of happiness would be frustrated and have no real meaning. You are 50% of the membership of the church and mothers of the other 50%. No one can dismiss you lightly. I received just the other day a letter from a dear friend. Her name is Helen, and her husband's name is Charlie. She writes as follows, among other things, and I quote, "Today, Charlie and I spoke at our sacrament meeting. In my talk, I related the advice you gave me when I graduated from Idaho Falls High School and had made plans to attend Ricks College. You told me that I should attend the Church College of Hawaii, where I would have a better chance to meet and marry a young man of Chinese ancestry. I took your advice and went to CCH, where I met Charlie and married him. We've been married 37 years and have 5 children. All of our 5 children have served missions. 3 of our children have married in the Hawaiian temple. We have 2 single children, and we hope they will find worthy individuals to go to the temple soon. We have 6 adorable grandchildren and 2 more on the way. I have been blessed to have a faithful husband who honors his priesthood and has been worthy to serve the Lord as bishop, state president, and mission president. It has been my privilege to support him in all his church assignments. I have served as State Relief Society president for almost 5 years. Today, as I count my many blessings, I could not help but think of what a great influence you have been in my life. I just want you to know that I followed your counsel, and because of that, my life has been blessed abundantly. I thank you for taking the time to follow my progress when I left Hong Kong to come to America. This is what the Relief Society does for women. It gives them opportunity for growth and development. It gives them status as queens in their own household. It gives them place and position where they grow as they exercise their talents. It gives them pride and direction in family life. It gives them added appreciation for good eternal companions and children. What a glorious organization Relief Society is. There is nothing to compare with it in all the world. May the Lord bless each of you with these marvelous qualities that come of activity in the great Relief Society organization. For this, I humbly pray in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh,
Our dear Heavenly Father, we approach thee at this time with hearts full of gratitude. As we have met a worldwide organization of Relief Society sisters, we are so grateful to thee to have heard the words of our beloved prophet this evening. We love him and sustain him, and help us, Father, to heed his counsel. For we know if we do, we will be blessed. We are so grateful for our Relief Society presidency. We're grateful for their words tonight, Father. Please help us to learn to recognize the many times that we feel the Savior's love in our life. Help us to know, Father, how much we love thee, and help us to recognize thy love for us. We are so grateful for our membership in this church, for our knowledge of the Savior who lived and died for us. And we humbly ask thee to draw ever closer to him, to keep his commandments, to hear his voice, and to feel his spirit and his influence in our life on a daily basis. We ask thee this time to be with us individually, Father, in our individual lives. We will be led and directed to do those things that we can do to serve thee and to serve those around us. We love thee and are so thankful for everything thou hast given us. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.